It's good to be here again. We are continuing with building God's house. And last week we started off by just exploring what is God's house and how do we build it. And we were looking at 1 Peter 2 verse 4 to 6 that says, as you come to Him, that is Jesus, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. What a powerful portion of Scripture and some concepts that repeats itself within this that we're also going to look at this morning. But the primary theme is building God's house and what is God's house and how do we build it. And last week we started to explore this, that the house of God is not a physical place. It's not this building that we meet in. It's not brick and mortar. It is a spiritual house that is built with living stones, that is built with you and me. As we come to Him, He builds us. And we become the material. It's not a physical place where we are a middleman, a conduit of bringing resources to a place to be built by someone. No, we become the material itself. We are the material through which God builds His house, which is a living spiritual house. So as we come to Him, He builds with us, and we thus become the material. So last week we spoke about presenting our lives to God and consecration as we come to Him. And some of us fasted with us as we consecrated areas of our lives that is not yet in His hands, because God can only build with what is presented to Him. So as we consecrate ourselves and the areas in our lives to Him, what we present Him, He can form and shape into His purpose. But only what we surrender, only what we consecrate, only what we give to Him. So what we present to God, He can build with. And He then becomes the potter and we are the clay. And He can shape us and mold us and form us the way He wants to. Like that song says, He is the potter, ek is die clay, vorm my en maak my nes evil. En dit is die geheimenis van ons verhouding met God, dat ons onsself moet oorgee in vertrou het dat Hy die mag en die reg het om in ons lewe te vorm. So we have to come to Him like the potter that has the right and the authority to change and to shape and to mold us into His purposes. The amazing thing is we don't have to change, He changes us. We can only surrender. And through surrender, He changes us through the power of His Spirit. But as we come to Him, He builds. It's not my effort. And it's so powerful in the house of God, in this picture of God building with living stones as we surrender ourselves to Him and He places and builds us. The reality is God decides where He places the resources. Like the master builder, I'm building a house myself and we order bricks all the time. But we have builders that decide exactly where which brick goes. So God decides where He places each one of us as living stones as we surrender to Him. It's up to Him to place us. He decides where and how to place us to build with us this spiritual house. So it's not my effort, it's His effort. And He decides where He puts me and how He wants to use me. But all that is dependent on the first step, that as we come to Him. So we start off by surrender. We start off with consecration. We start off by saying, God, here I am. And then God takes us and He places us where He wants to, where He chooses to. So three things are required. After we surrender to God in His house, the first that we need is humility. Is to understand that He's the one that chooses to use me. I'm not the one who determines where I am and how I am. He is the one. So I need to come to God with humility. understanding that He is the one in His time and in His purpose will place and use me where He chooses to do so. So that requires humility from my side, that I cannot come to God and say, God, here's my life, but I want to be this. I want you to use me in this way. Now, when we come to God, we surrender everything. And that requires humility. That God, I give you my life and I trust you. That is the second thing that we need. We need to trust God. Because you will never be able to surrender everything to someone you do not trust. So as we come to Him in humility and surrendering our lives, we need to trust God. We need to trust Him that He knows us and that He loves us. That what His word is true when He says that I know the plans that I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. So when we surrender all to Him in humility, we must also trust Him. There are some people that are willing to surrender all, but they're not willing to trust God. So even though the concept of surrendering all in humility makes sense, but for some, trusting God is very difficult. And because we don't really trust God, we can't really let go. So you can't really surrender without trusting Him. It is in trust that we surrender. So you need to trust God to surrender your life. And that is one of the greatest challenges in this life, because the world says this leads to life, to fame, to success, to security, to well-being. God says, no, I am life. So many times we struggle with trust. Do we really trust God enough to surrender everything? Trust brings freedom. Because then we can surrender. The third thing that we need is a willingness. It's a willingness to yield our life to Him. Some people have trust in God, but they're not quite willing to go where He's going. Sometimes it's not humility. Sometimes it's not trust. Sometimes it's just willingness. Sometimes we are just not willing to go where He's going. We don't really want to go where He's going. We trust that He is true. We trust in His character. We trust in His word. But are we willing to go where He is going? So sometimes we struggle with the willingness to let go. Because we don't really know where He's going. And sometimes we know exactly where He's going. We just don't want to let go. So these three things are necessary in our own hearts to be placed in the purposes of God: is the humility, it's the trust, and the willingness to let go. Forum May in Mark May. Net soos evil, nie my wil nie, maar evil. So in following God, our consecration, our presenting ourselves afresh to Him for this new year, the question this morning is, do you trust Him? Do you trust Him enough to let go? And the second question that follows from that is, are you willing? Are you willing to follow Him wherever He leads you? That's why David says, one of my favorite portions in Scripture is Psalm 23 that we know so well. David declares, Jesus is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I follow Him. Where He leads me, there is rest. I'm absolute trust in Him. And even though, and this is for me such a powerful, the crux for me of David's faith and trust, he says, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Not just because I trust you, because you are there with me. You are there with me. There's a relationship. I have been following you. And you've been leading me through this valley. And I'm not afraid because I know where you're leading me is life. So even though I go through this valley, I'm not afraid because you are with me. So David's faith and trust was more than a mental ascent. It was an experience of a relationship with God. So he was not afraid. Are you willing to let go? Many trust God, but they are not willing to let go. Because letting go means giving over control. And that's a great challenge for many of us. Letting go of control. If for me, sus evil. Mrs. Agvil. You know, there's great freedom in letting go. In letting go of everything that holds us to this life and releasing it to God brings great freedom because I am not afraid and also I am no longer in control. Now all of a sudden my life is in His hands and He builds and shapes and forms me as He pleases and I can be free. So one of the powerful things of letting go is letting go of control. Who is in control of your life? Who's in control of your decisions? Who's in control of your money? Who's in control of your future? Who's in control of what you do and where you go? Who's in control of your life? So this morning, one of the challenges I believe God is laying at our hearts is, do you trust me? Are you willing to let go? Let go of control. Give me the throne of your life. I want to be your king. Letting go. You know what? That's difficult for many people. When you give over control, you don't need to sell anything. You don't need to change anything. You can just surrender it. You don't need to sell anything. You don't need to change your career. All you need to do is surrender control of everything. Let Him decide what you sell and what you keep and where you go and what you do. Let Him decide. I remember not so long ago, there was a young man that came to the Lord and he was a pub owner. And the first thing he asked me after he gave his life to the Lord, he said, I probably need to sell my pub now. I said, no, you don't need to do anything. He was very confused. He said, but I'm a pub owner. And I get people drunk. That's my business. Surely I must let go of my pub now. I said, no, you don't need to do that. The only thing that you need to do is follow Jesus. That's all you need to do. You just follow Jesus. You don't have to do anything. Just follow Jesus. That's the only thing you need to do. Let Him tell you what to do, but you don't have to do anything. Just follow Jesus. Let Him tell you. It wasn't 2 weeks he phoned me. He said, you know what? I can't stand this pub anymore. It kills me. Something in my soul is grieved every time I see these people all around me broken and drunk. I cannot do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. I have to sell this pub. See, God changed him. He didn't have to change himself. God changed him. No, you don't have to do anything. You just need to surrender control and follow Jesus. He didn't do it out of obligation. He did it because he wanted to. He couldn't do it anymore. So you don't need to sell anything, change a career. Although, not so long ago, Pastor Tiens, he also preached here a while ago. He shared a story of a lady that came to the Lord and very zealous in her salvation, came to him saying, Pastor, I need to change my career. I've been saved for a month or something. I've been saved. My life has radically changed. I'm in love with Jesus. I need to change my career. And Pastor Tiens very responsibly said, no, just hang on. Before you resign, you know, are you sure this is what God wants you to do? You know, do you have something else to do? You know, let's be rational about this. He said, no, Pastor, I must change my career. And he's trying to convince her to do the rational thing. And then at some point, he stopped and he asked her, so tell me, what do you do? She says, no, I'm a pole dancer at a strip club. He said, okay, you must change your career. You must change it. But for most of us, letting go of control doesn't mean you need to change anything. You just follow Jesus. Let him decide what you do with your life. There's a big difference. So you don't need to be afraid that you're going to lose anything. Because those who lose their life will gain it. So whatever you lose, you will gain life. But the reality is, in following Jesus, he desires us to be holy. To be a holy nation. Now we spoke about that. A holy priesthood. In 1 Peter 2, from verse 4 to 10, he says, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So yes, we spoke about it yesterday, the fact that we've moved from one place to another when we come to him. And God's expectation of us is to be holy, is to be a holy priesthood. So yes, you cannot be a holy priest in the strip club. You cannot. But he will change. He will direct when you surrender control. So last week we spoke briefly about what holiness means. It's the obvious moral and physical purity. We spoke about that. The moral and physical purity in deed and in word, but also something that is consecrated. The two aspects of holiness. It's not just moral purity in word and deed. It's also being consecrated for something. Being consecrated to God. The two aspects of holiness, and last week we spoke about being consecrated to God. It means presenting ourselves when you consecrate something, when something is holy, when this is holy water. Not that this is holy water, this is oasis water prepared in a still or a tap. But this is, if this is consecrated to God, it is holy because it is presented for His service. It's something that you take from an ordinary use. In the temple, they took ordinary implements and they consecrated to God, which changed the value and the meaning of what was consecrated. So holiness is not just moral purity, it's also being consecrated, and we spoke about that. Sometimes people get the order wrong. To be consecrated to God doesn't mean you must first be pure. So many people struggle with consecration, surrender to God, because they first try to be pure before they can be consecrated. Actually, God consecrates us and declares us holy before we are. When we are still sinners, He saves us. So we sometimes get the order right. We try to be holy before we are consecrated, before we are accepted in His service. We want to be perfect. But God doesn't work like that. First, what He does is He consecrates you. And then He declares you to be holy. And because of who I have become, now I live who I am. Because God has consecrated you to be holy, therefore I live holy. I don't live holy to be consecrated. No, I am consecrated, therefore I live holy. You see, religion teaches the other way around, doesn't it? It says you're never good enough for God because you're not holy enough. So you have to earn your acceptance. But God doesn't work like that. It says, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice my son to cleanse you.
So I am consecrating you to myself through the blood of my son, and I declare you holy. Now that you're holy, I want you to live like that. It's a big difference. One is driven for acceptance. The one is from a place of acceptance. It's from a place of identity. Who are you? We spoke about that many times last year. Our salvation is by grace and not our works. It's His works. That's the amazing thing. We are declared holy not because of what we have done. We are declared holy because of what He's done. And that makes all the difference. Through His work, we are declared holy. Now, we need to appropriate that through faith and repentance, yes. What is faith? Believing what God says that He has done for us. Repentance is simply, I used to be in the world, living in the world, but now I turn around and I follow God. I choose to consecrate myself. You know what? Some people misunderstand repentance as being confession. No, it's not confession. It is a hard choice to consecrate yourself to God, to say, God, here I am. You are now my God. You are now my Lord. I give you my life. Everything. That is what repentance is. I used to do this. Now I give you my life and I follow you. You know, those two things are so powerful. That is how we appropriate what God has done for us. He says, listen, I've given you my son to set you free. All you need to do is believe and follow me. That's all you need to do. Just turn your heart to me. Accept my love for you. Put me first in your life. And everything that I've done for you is yours. So we can come to Him with boldness. Some people get the order wrong. You don't need to earn your salvation. You don't need to earn His love. It's already given. You just need to accept it. Embrace it. But you know what? You cannot embrace God's life and continue in the life of sin. God doesn't work like that. He wants you, everything, because He's paid for your life, because He loves you. And the reason why He wants everything from you, because He knows the life in this world will lead to death. It will lead to destruction. We heard that clip of Reinhard Bonnke that said, we are all guilty. We are all sinners. And we stand before God and we all deserve death. But God does not want that. So He gave us His Son so that we can live, have life. That's John 3:16. So, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So that is what God called us to. The only thing you and I have to do is to believe and to surrender lordship to Him and follow Him. That's consecration. Now, because you are consecrated to God, therefore, we can now live holy lives. There's a big difference. Not I live a holy life to be consecrated. No, I am consecrated. Therefore, I live a holy life. You see, if you know that you are consecrated, if you know that you belong to God, if you know you have been cleansed of all your sin and you've been set free from this world and the power that's in it and the lust that's in it, if you know that you have been set free, you can now live as someone being free. If you know that God declares you holy, you can now live a holy life because of who you are. You are no longer a sinner, you are now a saint. So now we live that life that God has called us. Yeah, 1 Peter says the following. We continue in 1 Peter, and just a little bit earlier, in the first chapter, it says the following things about this order. It says, since you have purified your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love for one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So now it speaks about your salvation. Do you see that? It speaks about the fact that you've been born again by incorruptible seed, that you've been purified, that you've been declared holy. This is who you've become. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So now that you're saved, now that you've been holy, now you live. Therefore, this is so important for us to understand. You don't live holy lives to be accepted. You are accepted, therefore you live holy lives. Now, it goes on. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected by man indeed, but chosen by God and precious, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But you are, now this is so important, speaking about your identity, who you have become. Because this is so important to understand. If you understand who you are, you will know how to live your life. But listen to this. Who have you become? Who have we become in our faith in Christ? It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, in the light of all this, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from the sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. Do you see where it comes from? Because you are holy, I urge you to live a life that is holy in this present world. Because you have been taken from darkness to light. You used to be part of this. I want you to come out of this and be holy so that when they see your life, they may glorify God. Because you are now holy, so live holy life. Submit yourself to the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to be an empire as is the supreme authority or governors who are sent by Him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everybody. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the empire. Do you see the order? Not you live holy lives to be holy. No, you are holy, therefore live holy lives. But there's a purpose in this. The reason God calls us to live holy lives is so that we may reflect Him in this broken world. So the reason God has called us out is to make us holy. Then He says, go back here and live holy lives so that the people may see through you who I am. So that through your works, through your life, people will give glory to me because of what they see in you through me. And that's the beauty of godliness. That's the beauty of living a holy life, surrendered completely to God and His will and His purposes in this life. You see the order? Because you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Therefore, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from the sinful desire which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Now, these things that I want to just focus on here, when it speaks about the fact that you are a chosen people. This is a word that repeats itself in this portion of Scripture that we read. I don't know if you've seen it, because in our key verse, it speaks about the fact, you don't need to go there, but it speaks about the fact that Jesus is the chosen precious stone, the cornerstone. It keeps on referring to the fact that He is chosen and precious. You likewise like living stones. And now it speaks about the fact that you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. You know what? In the Greek word, it means eklektos. It's two root words. Ek and then the one that most of us know, Lego. It's the two Greek root words. Eklektos is from these two words, ek and Lego. Now, ek literally means out of. In other words, chosen means you are out of something. Lego means to pick or to gather. In other words, you've literally been picked out of the world. You have been literally picked out of the world to be something else. Now, this is so powerful to understand. You have been picked out of this world to be something different. That something different is going to bring glory to God's name. But you must understand you are special because God has picked you out of the world. This word means you've been picked from a larger group for a special purpose or privilege. So we've been picked out of the world for this purpose, not just to be declared holy, but to be holy. So what are we saved from? We're saved from the sinful world. What are we saved to? God's holiness. This is very important. It speaks about the fact that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We've been handpicked out of this world. Out of this world, you've been picked to become a royal priesthood. You used to be a sinner, a slave to sin, guilty. But God handpicked you out of this to make you something else. A royal priesthood. What is priesthood in the Old Testament? Let's reason together. Priesthood. What was the priest in the nation of Israel? Who were they? They had a specific purpose in the nation, did they not? Their purpose was to bring the sacrifices. He says, but you are living stones being built up into a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices, which is acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. You've been handpicked out of the God, out of the world, to be a holy priesthood. You have been picked out of the world to be something. A priesthood in service of God. It says not only that, which makes it very powerful. It says you are a royal priesthood. What does royalty mean? Royalty means you. Not you have blue blood. No, it means you have an inheritance. It means you belong. It means you have position, identity. It means, you know what? You've not just been handpicked to serve God in a particular way. No, you are a royal priesthood. In other words, you belong to the king. You're a son and a daughter of God. That makes you royalty. You are a co-heir with Christ. Now, put this in who you've become. You are holy. You are being declared holy by God. You've been handpicked out of the world to be a royal, a co-heir with Christ, child of God, priest to serve God. Therefore, because this is who you are, live holy. Don't live holy so that you can get there. This is who you are, therefore live holy. Many people struggle with holiness because they do not know who they are. But you have been handpicked to be a royal priesthood in this world so that your life may reflect something about who He is. This is so important to understand. A holy nation, we've spoken about that earlier, a royal priesthood. So your actions should reflect your identity. The reason we live holy lives in this world is because that is who we are in this world. Our works is meant to reflect who we have become. So we live holy lives not to earn His love. We live holy lives because He loves us. And this is who He is. God is holy. Now many Christians struggle with this. They struggle with the fact that I am forgiven. I have been set free. But there is no urgency to live a holy life. There is an unwillingness to yield completely to who God declares I have become. So we hold on to our secret little sins and we try to justify the reason why we can continue with what we are doing that we know is not a reflection of who He is. And we cover our sins and our unwillingness to yield, we cover it by our freedom and we declare that anything or one that should request a holy life or should challenge my sin is religious. We say that is religion speaking. That is religiousness. But that's not religiousness. That's just a challenge of identity. Who are you? And so many Christians struggle with this because they try to cover their sin with grace. They say, but we're under grace and no longer under the law. And people misunderstand what grace is. Grace is so powerful. You know what grace is? Grace is not just the one that declares you holy. Grace is the one that empowers you to be holy. And all you need to do is surrender to it. If you surrender to it, it will empower you to be what God desires you to be. And all of a sudden, grace is not just freedom. Grace is life. Grace reflects something that's not of me, but of Him. So when people see my life, they don't see my good works. You know what? That's what people struggle with. They think holiness focus is on you. That's what religion teach. It teaches you are good or you are bad. And the focus of holiness is in your effort to be holy. But grace empowers you to be not of your own effort, but His effort. So the reflection is not on me, but on God. When you walk in holiness in this world, people are not going to see you. They're not meant to see you. They're meant to see God. And there's a subtle but such a powerful difference. I'm not trying to be holy in my own works. I surrender to Him and I allow Him to change me to become what He wants me to be. But the key is surrender. You must be willing to surrender. You must first understand that this is who you are, therefore this is who you should be, and God has empowered you not just to be, but also to live. So you just need to embrace it. But first you need to surrender. That's why 1 Peter says, therefore, preparing your minds for action, be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as obedient children, do not conform to the passion of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God does not expect of us something that we cannot do, but He says, put your hope fully on the grace of God that will enable you to be what He is. So that He will get the glory. There's the purpose to it all. In 1 Peter we read it earlier. Live such good lives among the pagans. Though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that He visits us. And then in conclusion, Matthew 5, Jesus says the following. From verse 13 He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then not good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The purpose of holiness is not to attain God's love and favor, to become consecrated and to be accepted. No, you already are accepted. You already have His favor. You have already become a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. Therefore, live your life in this world in such a way that reflects who you are and the one that you serve, so that he can receive the glory. So that when you are dealing in integrity and you are just and you stand up for what is right and you live your life in such a way that they may glorify God. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer every time we pray. We says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be glorified. May your name be exalted." The way you live your life will bring glory to God's name. Building God's house is building with you. Surrendering your life to him. Understanding who you have become. And then living who you are. So that God can be glorified. So I want to invite you this morning as we conclude. That as last week we have consecrated ourselves to God. That now we will trust him. To let go of control. And we will let go of the lies of the devil about your sinfulness and your struggles and your addictions and your fears and your depression and all the things that keeps you bound in this world. When God says, "Wherever the Son set free is free indeed," it means you are free indeed. It means the addiction that you're struggling with, the sin that you're struggling with, that whatever it is that tells you that you cannot be free is a lie. It is a lie. But you have the key to your own freedom. And it starts with this very simple thing of surrender. Say, "God, I'm going to surrender my life to you. God, I'm going to surrender my tongue. I'm going to surrender my heart. I'm going to surrender my addiction. I'm going to surrender everything to you, God. And I'm going to ask you to come into my life by your grace and empower me to be who you already declare I am. God, so that as we leave this place, the way we live our lives in this world, in your workplace, the way you deal with conflict, the way you deal with corruption, the way you deal with lies and loopholes, the way you deal with morality, the way you deal about with the jokes, and the programs, the way you live your life is going to reflect something that draws people closer to God, and they're going to ask you, I guarantee you, they're going to ask you. They're either going to persecute you or they're going to ask you. It's one of the two things. But even if they persecute you, they will be ashamed because of your works are good. And conviction will come to them. So don't be afraid, whatever you face, God's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be there right with you. But this morning is a challenge to holiness. To embrace holiness. To follow God and ask him to not just sanctify us, but to live holy lives. So this morning we're going to pray, and we're going to pray specifically for people that are struggling. If there's an area in your life that you know you're not free of, that does not reflect God's nature and character in you, if there's an area in your life this morning that you know is not who God declares you to be, this morning we're going to do a simple thing. We're just going to come with those things before God. We're going to say, "God, here I am. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to surrender everything. I want to surrender my weaknesses. God, I want to surrender my addiction. God, I want to surrender my sin. God, I want to surrender my anger, Lord. I want to surrender whatever it is." This morning is a simple thing of just coming to God and say, "God, I surrender. I surrender to who you say I am. I ask you to come. I ask you, I give you permission. God, I give you permission to change me. Come and change me, God." But we have the keys to that. We have the keys. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you've come to give us life. You've come to give us life, God, life in abundance. Life that overflows. God, you have declared us holy, God, through the work of your Son. You've handpicked us out of this world. You've chosen us out of this world to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people belonging to you, so that we can reflect you through the way we live our lives. You've poured out your Spirit to empower us. Your grace enables us to be. And this morning, God, you're simply asking us to surrender. Surrender our weakness. Surrender our sin. Surrender our addiction. Surrender everything. Surrender control of our lives. So that you can build with us. So that you can form us and shape us and mold us. So that we can be transformed from glory to glory into the image of your Son. So that like he is in the world, so we can be. So God, this morning, we come to you. So I just want us all to stand before God just for a moment. Let's just stand. Let's all stand. So Father, this morning I pray for each and every person that we will make a decision. That we will make a decision to pursue holiness, not from our own strength, but that we will pursue holiness from your strength. That we will pursue it from the identity that you have given us, not the identity that the world has given us. So that you can build with us your house that reflects you. So this morning, God, I want to give an opportunity for every person who wants to surrender their lives to God, to become who God wants them to be, declare them to be, who they already are. If that is you this morning while all the eyes are closed, I just want you to take your belongings and come forward. If you want to surrender your life to God, to be everything that he wants you to be, I want you to come forward. This is a simple act, but this is powerful. Because this is an act of surrender. As people are coming forward, don't be afraid. This is a decision that you're making today to surrender. So I want you to take that step as we wait. I'm going to wait a few moments. There's more people. I know there's more people that needs to come. You want to be free. Whether it's fear, whether it's addiction, whether it's anger, whatever in your life you're struggling with that you know is not reflecting who God is, but you want to be free and you've been trying. You've been trying in your own strength. You've been trying, but you've been failing. This morning, there is an opportunity to start from a new place. So I want to give you an opportunity to come. As you're here this morning, Father, I want to thank you that you have set apart this time so that we can be free. Lord, I know your desire for us is to be free. Your longing to pour your Spirit, your grace in us, and you're waiting for our permission. God is waiting for your permission. Do not believe the lies of the devil that says you cannot be free. Do not believe the lies of the devil, but this is who you are. And you cannot be free. That is a lie. God is asking this morning, give me permission. But we need to surrender. We need to humble ourselves. Then there's some people here this morning. We started off with being built in his house as a living stone. There's some of us that God is speaking about our trust in him and our willingness to be used by him in whichever way he chooses to use us. And if that is you, God is calling you. He wants to use you. He wants to build with you. And He gives an opportunity for you this morning to come and surrender everything. If that is you, I also want you to come forward. You want to surrender your life to God. Say, God, I want to give you myself as a living stone so that you can build with me in whichever way you want to. God, vandag kom ek na u toe en ek gee my lewe aan u soos klei. En ek verklaar dat u is die potter. Ek is die klei. Ek gaan nie langer my eie lewe probeer vorm nie, maar ek gaan my lewe vir u gee om te vorm. Ek gaan u vertrou met my lewe en ek gaan u toelaat om my te vorm. En ek gee my lewe vir u vandag. Ten volle, en as dit u is, wil ek vra u met vorentoe kom. Look, somebody bit. Because today God wants to start to build His house with you. He wants to build His house with you. I'm going to ask the facilitators, you can come forward and help us pray. And I want us just to be seated for a moment. And as we are seated, I want you just to reflect for a moment. And I want you just to commit your life again afresh to God. Just where you are in your own words. Say, Father, here I am. God, I want to give you my life in your hands and I ask you to build with me in whichever way you choose to. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to do that as you're seated, as we minister to these people. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you with our lives and we can surrender to you. Thank you, God, that we can be expectant of you building. Not just in our lives, but through our lives. God, thank you that this year, Lord, is a year of building your house. And as I'm praying, I just sense you are saying to us for this year, because you are building me a house, I will build you a house. So thank you, Lord, for each and every heart, Lord, that is surrendering to you. Thank you that you are saying, because you are building me a house, I will build you a house. Thank you, Father, there's nothing we can give you that you don't already have. But God, you want to set us free of the things that holds us back. And as we give our lives to you, you build us. Lord, this year, God, I pray that you will take us as living stones, God, and you will place us in your house, in the place and the way you desire, so that we can be who you declare us to be, so that we can be fulfilled in our identity, in our purpose, in our belonging, in our knowing you. Thank you, God, for giving us the privilege to be part of your plan and purpose. And God, as we go from this place, Lord, I pray that we will go and be holy as you are holy, so that we can reflect you in this world, so that people can come to you because of what you're doing through us. So I just pray this blessing over each and every person, and I declare, be holy because He is holy. And may His grace empower you to be what He calls you to, in the name of Jesus. Amen.